Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Monday, May 20th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are at page 20, paragraph 3, starting with how many times people have said to us through that one paragraph ending, but there he is, all lit up again. Comment on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Larry G., the 12 Traditions, Sandy K., reader of the text is Eileen M., our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., announcement Shelley E., and reader of page 164 is Stephanie L., and Larry G. will also be our backup reader. The reference numbers for this morning, Monday, May 20th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 21,413-21413. And for yesterday's special edition meeting, May 19th, 2024, the share ID is 21,412-21412. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Larry G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Larry, please press star one to unmute.
Yes, I just unmuted myself.
There you go.
And give me a moment here. I'm pulling up the steps. I'm having problems with Wi-Fi connection here. Maybe somebody could jump in. I don't want to delay the group.
Sure. Stephanie L., are you available to read the steps? They're on page 59 of the Big Book, if that helps.
Gotcha. Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to all compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. It surely takes a village. We got this. I will now ask Sandy K. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. This is Sandy K. in Florida. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, a public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, of reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Laura, are you there?
We can't hear you.
Press star one.
There I am. I am here. Sorry. Can you hear me now? Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what happened.
Yes,
I was unmuted. Okay. Thanks, Al. Okay, how our meeting works. Sorry about that. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume the study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 20, the third paragraph, starting with, how many times people have said to us through that one paragraph ending, but there he is all lit up again. And I will ask Eileen M. to get us started. Begin reading and sharing for 3 minutes.
Good morning, everyone. This is Eileen M., very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. How many times have people said to us, I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he? Why don't you drink like a gentleman or quit? That fellow can't handle his liquor. Why don't you try beer and wine? Lay off the hard stuff. His willpower must be weak. He could stop if he wanted to. She's such a sweet girl, I think he would stop for her sake. The doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is, all lit up again. Oh, wow. What a great paragraph. Yeah, I want to just look at his willpower must be weak. He could stop if he wanted to. Wow, I've heard that quite a bit, actually. You know, and I think about the word willpower, and what does that mean exactly? You know, willpower is the ability to resist temptation, you know, for the purpose of achieving long-term goals, basically. So it's, you know, being able to delay gratification. And, you know, Dr. Silkworth tells us, in the doctor's opinion, that this is an illness, so it has nothing to do with willpower, even though I thought that that was my problem. You know, my old belief was whenever I was confronted with my alcoholic foods, I would just tell myself, well, you know, I'll just have this now, and then someday, later, in the future, sometime, I'll be able to control this. And, you know, I always would tell myself, hey, I got this, you know. I'm just not there yet. I just don't want to do it yet. And what was really going on is I didn't know that I had a disease and I could not control it on my own. And, you know, it's interesting. I just heard all kinds of comments, especially about a year or so ago at Thanksgiving. You know, somebody said to me and my family, you know, hey, go ahead, this won't hurt you. And, you know, I've heard this so many times. And, you know, I have observed that occasionally normal eaters will overeat. But, you know, the thing is they don't have the same consequences that I do as a result of overeating. You know, they can eat with impunity. And when I think back to my years, is I had the desire to stay stopped. But, you know, the big book tells us, you know, that we lack power. That's our dilemma. And, you know, I have to tell you, I was a member of OA for 26 years, and I did not understand exactly what my problem was. You know, I don't think I ever remember hearing that I lacked power until I got to this meeting, A Vision for You, and that was 8 years ago. You know, I got to these big book meetings, and this is where I got the solution because, you know, I understood the exact nature of the problem. Lastly, I'll just say that when I was in my face-to-face meetings locally, you know, I'd be struggling and I'd reach out to people and people would just say, Eileen, just think through the bite. And I thought, wait a minute, you know, OA has a pamphlet. I mean, the World Service put out a pamphlet entitled Think Through the Bite. But for me, that didn't work. And it didn't work because, you know, I have this strange mental blank spot that I don't remember what it was like to have the last binge. I didn't remember how bad it was. You know, and I don't know, that might work for some people, but logic did not work for me because my disease had progressed to the point where, you know, logic really was of no use. You know, and also the last thing is that, you know, the big book tells us that willpower is no effective defense against the disease. So with that, I pass, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. So before I take a list of names for people who would like to share, I'd like to remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I would need your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share? Can I be heard?
Yes, this is Nancy L. I'd like to share.
Thanks, Nancy. Where are you from?
Arizona.
Great. Got Nancy L. Who else would like to share?
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Joan Marie M. Nevada. Anybody else?
Candy P. in New York.
Candy P. in New York.
Jordan L.
Deborah G. Deborah G.
Kendall H. from Pennsylvania.
Is that Kendall H.?
Yes.
Great. We're going to stop there. I've got Nancy L. from Arizona, Joan Marie M. from Nevada, Candy P. from New York, Jordan L. from, I believe, Colorado, Deborah G. from Arizona, and Kendall H. from Pennsylvania. And Nancy L., Arizona, get us started. 3 minutes, please.
Thank you so much, moderator. Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered food addict for today. Yes, I do remember many, many times people would try to help me. You know, she needs help. She's so big. They never really said that in my face. But anyway, so I worked for a dentist, a very wonderful guy. And he had two other assistants, and they were like a size two. And he wanted me to be like them as well. He wanted everyone to look just perfect, and I don't blame him. So what he did was he just told me all about, you know, this staple in your ear is going to do it for you, Nancy. Let's get this staple in your ear. It'll hurt for a few minutes, and then it won't hurt at all, and you will see that weight just fall off your body. So I got the staple in the ear. I didn't see anything falling off my body, nothing. In fact, if anything, I was getting bigger. And, you know, I just felt so bad because I was disappointing him because, you know, like I said, he just wanted us to look really, really good. And I couldn't look really, really good with a staple in my ear. It took me years to find OA. And then again, I always identified myself out. Well, that's for me. And then finally I realized, no, these people are serious. They really have their weight under control. They really have found a reprieve. And so I'm grateful to say that I have found it too. And with that, I will pass. Thanks. Moderator, we don't hear you.
There I am. Sorry, Nancy. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, up next is Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Good morning, Joan.
Marie. Good morning. Oh, thank you so much. There's so much in this, just like we say with all the ones that we read, the paragraphs that we read, you know, there's so much. But what stood out to me was a lot in this. I could stop if I wanted to. Well, I wanted to. I had the desire to do that, but I didn't have the power to do that, and I didn't even know that at the time. And there were times when I didn't want to eat because I didn't want to stop eating because I couldn't. It was the only coping skill at that time that I knew of, that it would relieve me from the pain for a moment, for a second. And then I still had that pain for whatever reason. And then I had two. I couldn't stop. I had two problems then. And it said, you know, that we could stop if we wanted to. I said that. And I couldn't do it for anyone else but myself. You know, there were people in my life that probably tried to help me. I don't quite remember that too much. But it was this program, these steps. And I had been in OA myself many, many years. And I never heard about the nightly review, because that's why I ate over feelings and situations, disappointment, hurt, or if I was happy or if I was sad. And by doing that nightly review, I don't have all those build-up emotions that become too big for me to handle. And I put that out there, and somehow it loses its power, because then I go to the God of my understanding, and I give them to him, and I say, God, I can't handle this. I don't even know how to handle this, but I believe you do. So I give that to you. And I'll say through the day, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. That's not really my thinking. I don't think that way. Help me. And so it's a spiritual program. And with that connection with God, a power greater than myself, I can go through anything. Nothing is impossible with my God. So I'm so grateful for this program. I've learned so much, and I will continue to learn. Every time I take a sponsee through the steps, I get to learn again. And yesterday, oh my God, what I wept when I heard her story on a special edition. I just wept because of the
gentle reminder.
Yes, thank you. Of the pain and the torment that we go through before we get this freedom from compulsive overeating. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Up next is Candy P. from New York. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning. I've been listening to A Vision for You since just before COVID started, but I think this is the only time, well, this is the second time I've shared.
I found a wonderful sponsor who introduced me to vision and took me through the steps, and it was different than anything I had tried before, and I had been in OA since 2008, and I know I have willpower because I have digestive issues. As a child, I had colitis, and now I have IBS, so there are quite a few foods I can't eat, and I've been without a sponsor for a while. She unfortunately had to step out, and I really need a sponsor, but I need a sponsor who understands digestive issues and doesn't expect me to eat certain foods that other people can eat, like certain greens that help them. What I'm really missing is the contentment and the emotional serenity I've gotten from vision, and the discipline to write an inventory every night, even if I'm not sending it to anyone. Vision is the only thing that got me to examine my character defects and helped me own my part in something. I've always had willpower to diet, but then as soon as I would eat to the desired weight, I would lose the willpower. So I really can relate to this because most of my friends don't understand. I don't appear to be overweight, and they don't understand when I say that I have to go to OA because it gives me mental serenity and gives me a discipline to stop eating. So if there's anyone out there who wants a sponsee with digestive issues like IBS and can be a little flexible on the fact that most food plans don't agree with me, I would love to hear from you. And I don't know if it's okay for me to do this now, but my phone number is 914.
Sandy, we don't do that right now. We don't give the phone numbers out while the recording is still going. So so that's time. And we thank you for your share. And if anybody wants to look Candy P from New York up on the member list after the meeting, they could give you a call then. Thank you so much, Candy. Thank you for sharing. Before Jordan L. gets on the line, I just want to remind everybody where we are. We're on page 20. That third paragraph, how many times people have said to us through one paragraph ending, but there he is, all lit up again. So up next is Jordan L. from Colorado. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Laura. Thank you for moderating the meeting for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. what a paragraph, huh? I wore a lot of extra weight. I carried a lot of extra weight, both mentally and physically, as a young person in my teens and my 20s. So I heard a lot of these things because my issues with food or my issues with eating or whatever, weight issues, whatever you want to refer to them as, were obvious, you know. So it was sort of laid bare for the world to see and comment upon and judge and And it really affected my perspective on the world and the way that I look at things and the way that I look at myself and my self-esteem. And I got to say, it was rough. Like it's a rough thing to go through, especially when you're in your development years. You know, like I was trying to develop who I was as a person at that point in time too. So compulsive overeating it's very much intertwined with my identity. And I think what happened was hearing all of these things from people who didn't have this allergy, they weren't experiencing the same reaction to my alcoholic foods. I am a distinct entity, so they didn't understand what it was that I was going through. And I wanted to be strong, and I wanted to have the willpower to be able to figure it out or get through it or whatever. And so what ended up happening is it isolated me. It really separated me from everyone in my life. I really thought that there was no one that understood what it was that I was doing with food. So years later, fast forward to coming into OA, it was a huge relief to find other compulsive overeaters that understood this problem, that understood the things that I was doing with food and had done them themselves. And fast forward 5 years later, because OA didn't take the first time around. When I heard other compulsive overeaters, I'll wrap up. When I heard other compulsive overeaters describing themselves as recovered, I was like, blew my mind. and I knew that I wasn't alone anymore. So thanks for being on this journey with me. That's it. I'll pass.
Thanks, Jordan. Thank you so much for sharing. Up next is Deborah G. from Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, everyone. And thank you so much, Laura, for your service and everyone that's making this meeting possible and 12-Step and me. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us this morning. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and what was here was for me was that I remember that when I was unconscious and sleeping, and you know, I had an awareness that I had a problem with certain foods. I could see glimpses of how I was behaving, you know, wanting them, putting them in my body, and wanting them more, and searching for them, and getting this kind of a feeling when I put them in and loving the taste and all that. But I really was unconscious and not honest with the awareness that I had no power. You know, I was going to OA meetings. I even went through the steps in one of the workshops that they had. But again, I wasn't able to get honest, and I wasn't able to see that I had no power. So I kept going back and, you know, for years, you know, I think about it now. I lived like that for years, you know, to try and control and then again end up being where I was at before I tried to control. You know, it was just the insanity of it all. Like, oh, how did I get here again? And trying to not think about it. Try not to think about it and just doing it the next. It was just awful. I'm so grateful that I'm awake today and aware of my foods I can't do and living this way of life with these beautiful 12 steps, the solution, and all of you 12 step in me to remind me of that, to keep me awake so I don't go asleep again, because I can go unconscious even today about things, you know. So I'm really grateful. Thank you all for 12-Step and Easy Day.
Thanks, Deborah G. from Arizona. Up next is Kendall H. from Pennsylvania. Hi, Kendall.
Good morning. This is Kendall H., food addict living in recovery today in Pennsylvania. The line that stuck out to me from this paragraph was, "There he is, all lit up again." And I didn't hear other people say this about me. What I heard was in my mind, I heard it with this cruelty. There you are, all lit up again. Like, there, Kendall, after all of this work, after all of these attempts to stop eating, here you are again, you loser. And I am not only powerless over food, but I am powerless over my negative thinking. That kind of line with that kind of tone is very compelling to me. And, you know, I've been abstinent for 4 months. I've been in OA, in and out of OA for 19 years. And this time in the program, I can see that my disease is progressive, and that this isn't something that's just going to stop. Like, if I don't take contrary action, those kind of thoughts that come in, those bully thoughts, will possess me. I used to say, I don't experience mental obsession, I experience mental possession. And I can say today that I am learning to live with help. I am learning to live with study of the big book. I am learning to think clearly only by separating what is negative thinking from constructive thinking. And I need, like, doses of medicine daily in order to continue healing. And I just, when I read that, or when I heard that line and then looked at it myself, I just thought, yeah, this is the kind of stuff I buy hook, line, and sinker without the influence of other people around me saying things that are actually true. So I'm grateful for the spiritual awakening that has allowed me to distinguish between the bully in me that wants me to give up because it's futile, versus the thoughts that say, maybe I just have to take one constructive action and, you know, close my eyes and ask for help. That's what happened for me, the first step on this current iteration of my abstinence. So thanks for letting me share. It's my first time in 4 years. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kendall H. from Pennsylvania. Before I take another list of names, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on any vision meeting on Thursday or Friday of last week, please step back and let other people share. We are sharing on page 20, third paragraph, how many times people have said to us, ending with, "But there he is, all lit up again." And I probably could take 4 or 5 more people. Who would like to share?
Cindy F., North Carolina.
Alex K.
Cindy F. from North Carolina. Alex K.
Deb F. from Texas.
Deb F. from Texas.
Chanel T. in Washington.
Chanel T. in Washington. All right, let's stop there and see where we are in time after Chanel shares. So Cindy F., Alex K., Deb F., and Chanel T. Cindy F., you're up for 3 minutes.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. I'm grateful to be here today. Like some of the other speakers, the line that really hit me was, "There he is, all lit up again." And I don't know what everybody else laid down in their lives for their compulsion, but for me, it cost me just about everything, my help, my family. But it wasn't enough. you know, I have some serious health problems from compulsive eating. And I was on the meeting this morning and a woman shared about the same thing. And you would think that would be enough to stop, but it wasn't. I am powerless. I am. And I think if it wasn't for the love of people in this program in OA who loved me and cared for me more than my feelings, I don't know if I'd be here today. They cared about my life. I mean, they could look through the BS and in a loving way and just say, hey, I have this light, you know, come over here, come out of the woods and follow me. And because initially, you know, coming in, I didn't know what I was doing. I realize now this disease that I have is fatal. Like I ate to feel good, then I ate to feel normal, and then I just ate not to feel. And so coming alive, coming back to life, like the big book says, it's a simple program, but it's not easy. And I'm grateful for the lessons because I do have a natural forgetter, but by God's grace and mercy, somehow I'm sober for today. And so thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Cindy F. from North Carolina. Up next is Alex K. from California, I believe. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. Well, I said these things to myself many times. Why can't I stop? Why did I binge again? I know it's not good for me and makes me miserable. What's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? Over and over. I should be able to control my eating. Why don't I have more willpower? I beat myself up for being a weak failure. And all these ideas assume I have power over this disease, but of course I don't. I'm completely powerless over compulsive eating. And it was such a relief to learn that it is a disease. And to know it's not a moral issue. I'm not a bad person for having this disease and for not being able to control it. I know now that I can't control it no matter how hard I try. And when I accept this fact, I can stop trying in vain to do it on my own. I don't have to continue in the vicious cycle of trying to do the impossible and then berating myself for not doing it again and again. I can stop fighting. I don't have to fight anymore. I can surrender and get the help I need. I don't have to hurt myself with food anymore. I'm so grateful to be abstinent. And the obsession and compulsion have been removed by my higher power, not by me. And that's a miracle. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you, Alex K. Thank you so much. Up next is Deb F. from Texas. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you, moderator. And thank you, everyone, who shared. This is a good paragraph, because I just remember since the time I was small that I had people really concerned about me. So much. Why does she eat up all our snacks? You know, she's not the only one in this house. My mother, who was trying to keep a budget and keep us all in together, somehow would be very angry at me a lot of the time. Shame, blame. And then just in case, you know, she wasn't enough, then I had my siblings to remind me, you know. And it's like, you know, it just, it's a culture of, I don't know, it just was, and it made me very angry. That's the bottom line is the whole scene made me really angry. And then even coming into you know, if anyone kind of treated me like my family, it was like, ooh, you know, the same kind of reaction. And but, you know, where it says, it doesn't say that in this paragraph, but, you know, my defense must come from a higher power. And today, that's how I put down the fight, and that's how I treat the disease, is by going to my higher power. And, you know, sometimes things, just like it says, we're going to have a buildup, an emotional buildup. And today, I found the solution to that emotional buildup is just surrender, surrendering it to my higher power, who has the power, which I've left this program many times, not Vision, but other, I don't know, I want to call them wannabes, but whatever, you know, they didn't work for me as well as Vision, because Vision really describes the problem and the solution. And, you know, just to turn things over, whatever it is, you know, I just am so grateful that my sponsor let me know that, yes, you have a disease. I had to sit down and just listen when I was going through the steps with her. And even though I had lots of my ideas, you know, it was just incredible. So today I'm just really thankful for you all. I'm thankful for the structure of this program. And that today I'm choosing to stay. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Deb F. from Texas. Up next is Chanel T. from Washington.
Great. Thanks so much, Laura. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
I hope you can hear me.
Sorry.
This is Chanel T.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm in Washington State. I'm Chanel. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I get to live in recovery today, and that's by the grace of God. You know, I have a close friend in program who lost most of her earthly possessions to a devastating flood. I have a brother who lost his entire home and everything in it except miraculously his cats, who are indoor cats, happened to be outside, to a devastating wildfire. I can't understand what they went through. I haven't been there. I don't get it. And many people in this program have different life circumstances than I do, different health issues unrelated to this disease, or maybe related to it that I haven't experienced. But when it comes to this disease of being an addict regarding food and food behaviors, a compulsive eater, you all get me in ways that no one else ever will. You, in ways that no one else ever will. And so I try to give grace now in recovery. I never did before, and not resent that people are never going to understand who are not compulsive eaters. Even they could be another kind of addict. My family doesn't get it. Other friends don't get it. It doesn't matter, because you know why? I'm here with you. And I have this book that you have too. And I have this design for living, a way out, a way through. No, I'm not cured. It's a recovery every day. It's such an incredible blessing. And what do I say to people? If I'm eating with somebody else who's not in this program, I say to them up front, hey, that's from other people in program, by the way, I'm a princess around my food. Don't worry about what I eat, because so many things don't agree with me anymore. If they've made something for me, whatever it is, and that's not something I eat, thank you so much. I love that you love me like that. That is not something I can eat, because I'm just such about my food. So many things don't agree with me. I have to get it. It's okay. I love them. The way that they can love me is awesome. And the way that you love me and I love you is, my goodness, the most powerful human love I've ever experienced in a different way any other love experience on this planet. And I just want to thank you all for being here. If you're a newcomer, please stick around. It's such a beautiful thing. With that, I will pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. from Washington. We have time for one more 3-minute share. Who would like that spot?
Janice K.
Janice K., take it away.
Thank you. Oh, dear. I read this paragraph, and what I see is a very good list of frothy emotional appeal that work for other people. When I read this paragraph, it strikes me as being things that work for the moderate eater, things that might work for the hardcore eater, but things that just have not ever, ever been consistently successful for me. They might work once, it might work twice, it is not going to come to my rescue repeatedly. That takes a power greater than myself, and I am very, very grateful to have found that here. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. We have time for about another almost 2 minutes, share, a minute and a half. Would anybody like that?
This is Jan C. from Arizona.
Robin T., Massachusetts.
Jan. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Jan C. From, I believe, Arizona. You've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for leading today. I'm just so grateful to be in the program. I've been in OA for 31 years, and I do not negate or put down any of the ways that I used to work the program. I did the best I could, so did all my sponsors, and I would say that I worked a really, really thorough first step about 30 years ago with a great sponsor. And yet I've never been able to have the recovery that I have today. I started with working the steps through the big book in July and even was able to go through my husband's death abstinently. God gave me that. God gave me that, not me. And I'm just so grateful, and I started listening to Vision, and I'm making it part of my program each morning now. God is really in charge, and I've got other things going on in my life, and I'm not here on a pity pot anymore, and I don't need to reach for the food. I really have about 99% neutrality toward food, and I really attribute that to God, to my willingness or whatever, my desperateness to be open to suggestions and follow my sponsor's recommendation and working the steps the big book way. I am so grateful today. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Jan C. Thank you to everyone who has shared with us today. It is now time to close the meeting. We are going to now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey everyone, Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.